We have got a fantastic episode of State Your Line for you today. We've got Chiefs talk as we head into the bye week. But first, we got to recap that Niners game. The Kansas City Current are headed to the NWSL championship.
To the ship, baby.
On Saturday. So we got to talk about the Current. Some openings and closings around the city. We'll talk about what we tried around Kansas City this week. We've got a personal pine tar this week, and we'll talk best things about Halloween. Also, exciting stuff. We got to sit down with Matt Beisler and Catherine Holland to talk 2026 World Cup. Matt is the Sporting Kansas City and U.S. national team player, and Catherine Holland helped lead the bid to get the World Cup to Kansas City. So
big deal.
An awesome interview that we've got for you this week. We are the Rich Brothers. Today is October 25th, and the Chiefs, we're cruising into the bye week. We dismantle another number one defense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad news if you've got the number one defense and you have to play the Chiefs, because after the game, you're not going to be the number one defense anymore. We might put up 40 on you. So a very nice, convincing win by the Chiefs.
Chiefs are humming. I kind of don't want to go into the bye week because I kind of just want to keep it rolling.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that we usually come out of the bye week looking good. And this just felt like one of those games where we figured it out. It takes us a little bit of time to kind of figure it out on offense, I guess I should say. But like, we figured it out. Andy and Bieniemy just can't be stopped. And we've talked about this a little bit, but like, every year, people think that they kind of get the Chiefs figured out, and they think that they kind of find ways to stop the offense. It only takes a couple of games for Andy and Bieniemy to figure out how to beat whatever it is that the league has decided is the way to stop the Chiefs. Because last year, it was the two high safeties and playing a lot of that shell coverage and cover two and basically not blitzing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes had the lowest blitz rate last year by like 12%. I think he was at like 8%, and the next closest quarterback was like at 20%. This year, the solution was kind of playing more man coverage against the Chiefs because we don't have Tyreek Hill, and we our receivers couldn't get separation, and so the solution was kind of to play more man coverage against the Chiefs and not blitz a ton still and still kind of play high coverage. That hasn't worked either. And Bieniemy and Reed will always find ways to figure you out if you're a defense that thinks they've figured out them. And this game was a perfect example of that. Everything was humming. This is one of the most dominant offensive performances that really has ever happened in the history of the NFL in a single game. And right now the offense is playing at a level that it hasn't looked or hasn't played at since really 2018. And it's one of the best offenses in efficiency and in scoring and in moving the ball in the history of the NFL. And it's just incredible.
Yeah. It's as far as a seven-game start for the Chiefs, too, I think it's our second best in terms of scoring points behind, I think, only 2018 Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
that juggernaut, and I think 2002 Chiefs.
2003, maybe? 2002?
2002 or 2003,
okay.
One of those teams. And then this team. So we've been that good on offense. Those six drives we put together of like 8 to 12 play drives, one of them ended the first half in a missed field goal. But the other five ended up in touchdowns. And mm-hmm. it was just a stretch of just like everything works. I think it was about 45 plays for over 400 yards and five touchdowns and a missed field goal. It was just an incredible stretch where you're just like, it's Golden State Warriors when they get hot from three.
Yes.
It's the Chiefs when they get hot and you just, whatever they do works and you just cannot stop them.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to watch.
Yeah. And just Mahomes was... was just on a completely different level yesterday. I mean, I think we averaged like 28 yards on third down. I mean, we
28 yards on third down,
something like that.
That's insane.
Yeah, we had a third and 17 that we picked up with the
screenplay.
The third and 11 was a 57 yard pass to MVS. I can't find the stats right now, but on third down, we were just insanely, it was a third and 20 on the screen that we picked up. Mm-hmm. So just incredibly efficient on third down. And then again, historically one of the best third down offenses that's ever existed, at any point in the league. San Francisco, the Giants had allowed, or sorry, San Francisco Giants, the 49ers had allowed scores on 23% of opponents' possessions going into this game. And there's been a lot of talk about how they were the best defense in the NFL.
Giving up 14 and a half points a game.
Yeah, one of the best in scoring. You can kind of cherry pick stats for defenses, but one of the best defenses in the NFL across a number of stats, especially in allowing scores, only 23.8% of opposing possessions ended in a score against the Niners. And yeah, the Chiefs scored on 6 of 7 of their first possessions with just a 39-yard missed field goal. So it should have been 7 for 7 on our first seven possessions.
The interception to start the game.
Oh, yeah, the interception, yeah. Yeah, so just it's so fun to watch that team hum like that on offense. Some of my favorite plays, Kelce on the, was it a 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1 on the little out pattern, and then he just was running down the sideline and just like effortlessly hurdled that guy. It just looks so easy for him to just effortlessly hurdle people.
And that was fun to see too, because it was one where, and this was a complaint I think I had last week, was just like, hey, just scheme a play that's really easy to get someone wide open to get 1 or 2 yards.
Yes.
And we had that there.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, I mean, the defense is still
offense,
not
though.
Great.
I've got another offense
okay,
thing.
Okay, keep going
another
offense. Keep
thing
going offense.
Because I was really excited to see MVS and Juju both go over 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
The two big offseason acquisitions. I saw a stat. Name the last time two wide receivers each went over 100 yards in a game. It was the year 2000.
For the Chiefs?
For the Chiefs. Two wide receivers in the same game. Any idea the year 2000 who that might have been?
Eddie Kinnison.
Not a bad guess.
And Andre Rison.
Not bad guesses. It was Sylvester Morris.
Sly.
And Derek Alexander.
Nice.
Elvis Gerbach threw for 504 yards that day. Tony G also had over 100 yards, which Travis Kelce almost did that too. So, but yeah. All right. Defense, say something nice about Frank Clark.
Yeah.
Say something nice.
Yeah, Frank Clark could beat me up in a fight, even though I still want to fight him at times. Yeah, I thought the defense, you know, it looked like Chris Jones, obviously still himself, had two sacks, including a forced fumble. Chris Jones is putting up Defensive Player of the Year numbers, and it's going to be awesome to watch him hopefully continue to get praise, because his whole career has been overshadowed by Aaron Donald, which is fair. It's fine. Aaron Donald is better than Chris Jones. Like, that's fine to say. Aaron Donald's one of the best players in the history of the NFL. But for too long, Chris Jones has not been a household name in the same way Aaron Donald has, and he has not gotten enough attention. And this year, with Donald having a down year and the Rams kind of stinking, the praise will all go towards Chris Jones, and he deserves to get all of that attention, because he's had an amazing career. And if not for Aaron Donald, he would have been the best defensive tackle in the NFL over the last 5 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's great that Chris Jones is getting that kind of recognition. Frank Clark had an awesome game. He played really well. He's kind of quietly, he hasn't been horrible. Hasn't been horrible.
His PFF grades have been bad.
They've
been bad all year.
Okay.
Yes.
But
he had a good game.
Yeah, he had a good game. Yes. No. Yeah, I take back what I just said. He has been bad.
He's been bad.
Okay, yeah.
He's been
bad.
But
he had
this
a good
year.
Game. Credit to him for having a good game. He looked good. I mean, he beat, I don't know what Trent Williams' plan was. Like,
yeah.
When he beat Trent Williams around the edge, like, Trent Williams should have just kept, it was the end zone. Like, he could have just kept riding Chris or Frank Clark out of the end zone. I don't know why he didn't. It was weird. But yeah, Frank Clark had a good game, looked good. So yeah, I mean, the defense, I'm ready to have a healthy defense again. And I've been saying, like, we have a lot of teams have been bitten by the injury bug so far, especially again this week. Like, a ton of teams are having some big players go down. We have not really had that. We've had some minor players go down.
Some role players.
Yeah, some guy, like
Willie Gay. Well, not injury, but Trent McDuffie.
Trent McDuffie, Fenton, corners coming from the same position is rough. But, like, we've been pretty healthy, so knock on wood there. But I'm ready to be full strength on defense. But it is valuable experience that those guys are getting at corner, those rookies that they're getting on corner at corner with those two starters out. So that's been valuable. But the defense needs some work. The defense still is struggling. But with the offense like that, I mean, doesn't really matter.
Here's what you can do, though. Just watch Chris Jones on every single play because it's really fun. It reminds
which
me
I'm an
of,
advocate for.
It reminds me of how I would watch Tyreek on every play and be like, all right, where is he lining up?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the coverage look like for him? Does it look like he's maybe got man-to-man, maybe just single coverage? And now that's what I do with Chris Jones.
It's yes.
Like, is he lining up inside? Is he outside? Does it look like he's going to have a one-on-one? Is he going to get just double-teamed?
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because of how much, no matter where he lines up and what people throw at him, it seems that it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And he just disrupts.
Yeah. And good for Joshua Williams for getting the INT. I thought Thornhill had a big pass breakup. I thought Thornhill played really good, which was a positive. So I think, you know, if Thornhill and Snead and Jones and Willie Gay and, you know, and then one of the edges, like Carl Loftus, Naughty.
Yeah.
You know, we just need a couple more guys to step up. But as long as Chris Jones and Snead and Thornhill continue to be, like, playing at, you know, I mean, Chris Jones all pro, but, you know, Snead and Thornhill are playing really well, then we're going to survive. But we need some other guys to step up on the defense, especially at edge and corner. So need that. But yeah, some other wild stats I wrote down. This has been going around a lot. 41% of Mahomes' pass attempts are going for first downs, which is one of the highest? Second highest percentage since like 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially 41% of his pass attempts are resulting in first downs.
That's insane.
That's stupid. It's the highest percentage.
We should pass the ball a lot.
It's the highest percentage since 2012 and the third highest since the year 2000. So 41% of his pass attempts are resulting in first downs. Not completions.
Mm-hmm.
41% of his pass attempts are resulting in first downs at this point. And then the one that a lot of people have been seeing, the highest winning percentages in the NFL since 2019, Mahomes 79%, Aaron Rodgers 73%, Mahomes when his team has trailed by 10 plus points 70%, Tom Brady 69%. So that stat is just absurd that Mahomes is third. Mahomes when his team has trailed by 10 points is third behind himself and Aaron Rodgers since 2018 in winning percentage. So, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with the playbook opening up. I think, you know, when we go down by 10, we basically stop running the ball and we only pass the ball. And when Mahomes is your quarterback and you pass the ball a lot, good things happen. I think that's pretty self-evident there. But that's why I'm a big advocate for never running the ball. But yeah, that is just an insane stat to think about. And if we played that same offense where we never run and we only pass and we open up the playbook all the time instead of when we're down 10, then, you know, I would be a happier team fan, but yeah, very, very incredible. The offense is unbelievable. So it's a lot of fun. We are blessed. I've seen a lot of that. We are blessed that Patrick Mahomes is our quarterback. Andy Reid is our coach because we could be the Chargers.
Yeah.
We could be a lot of teams, but we're not. We're the Chiefs.
But we're the team that Patrick Mahomes has the most wins in his first 70 starts.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 56-14 to start his career.
Yep.
That's insane.
That's stupid
that we get to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very fun. So soak it up. Enjoy it. Any final thoughts, Chiefs? The Isaiah Pacheco starting really didn't mean anything.
Yeah, I figured that would be the case.
Less snaps than Clyde and McKinnon, I think.
Including three snaps in garbage time. So, yeah, I kind of figured that would be the case.
Yeah.
Nope, that's all I got.
It's like a college football suspension for Clyde. Like
McCole Hardman, great game.
Mm-hmm.
First wide receiver in the Super Bowl era with two rushing TDs and a receiving TD in a single game.
He out-Debo'd Debo.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Andy did that on purpose.
Maybe.
Just playing against Debo, he got McCole, two rushing TDs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
also, the Chiefs, there have been 9 40-point games in the NFL this season, and the Chiefs have 3 of them. No other team has more than 1 40-point game. I mean, just so Andy Reid.
We're the number one scoring Chiefs team in the, in the league.
Offensive plays of 20-plus yards through the first 7 games. Last year, we had 23. This year, we have 37. 37 to 23 as far as offensive plays with 20 through of 20 plus yards. So,
Wow, that's impressive. Some might call that maybe more explosive than last year's offense.
Some might.
Wow.
Some might. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. All right. Let's talk Casey Current,
who
beat the OL Reign to make it to the NWSL championship. It's going to be on Saturday.
Casey
in Washington,
Current.
D.C., I think it might be on CBS.
I don't know if it's on CBS or CBS Sports.
/ Paramount. It might be on CBS Sports Network.
I'd be surprised if...
Couldn't get a good answer
at
online.
7 p.m. on Saturday, CBS, do they have a night game for college football?
No.
Or they just have that 2:30 game?
Yep.
Yeah, so it probably is on regular CBS.
So it could be on regular CBS.
Current are in the final. Last year, the Current were dead last in the National Women's Soccer League. This is their second year in existence. Last year, as the expansion team, they finished dead last. This year, they're in the final. Things just keep going up and up for the KC Current.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's impossible to conclude that the new stadium and the energy behind the Current and the hometown fans and everything, all the momentum that the Current has going for them, has not played a factor in this. I think all of that has played a factor in the Current current form.
Current form.
And it's a cool turnaround. They beat the OL Reign, you said that, who was the number one seed.
Upset City.
To advance. They're playing the 3 seed, the San Diego Wave. So Current versus Wave. You got any good
jokes there?
Are you
sure we're not playing the Portland?
Oh, yeah. I think we're playing. Yeah, you're right. Never mind.
Yeah, they're not the Timber like the men's.
They're the Thorns.
The Thorns. The Thorns.
The Thorns, yeah. Dang, I had some Current versus Wave jokes.
Do you want to make them?
No. It's okay.
But I think there was some controversy over a close goal. Does the ball have to go, the whole ball go over the whole line?
Yes.
Okay, so apparently very close call we benefited from. The whole ball not going over the whole goal line for the other team for
the Reign.
So they were upset. They protested that. But
they protested it?
I don't know. That's what it is. Maybe they were just upset and protested.
Oh, like.
But not like officially.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does say that VAR is incoming next season for the NWSL.
Yeah, so. It's just like Hawkeye technology is what they use for the ball going over the goal line.
Yeah.
Pretty simple stuff. The National Women's Soccer League is going to have it, but the NFL will not. So that's good.
Neither will Major League Baseball.
That's good. I'm glad. That's good. Nope. We're staying positive.
Stay
the
positive.
Current are in.
Current are in Saturday night.
Saturday night. I assume Power and Light will have a watch party because they did for this game. It looked like a good crowd down at P&L for this watch party.
Yeah.
Champs. Maybe. Do you think there'll be a parade?
Probably.
A parade?
A parade. I bet there will be.
Maybe like down by the River Market too.
Yeah, right by the groundbreaking.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right.
Let's get to some openings around Kansas City. First up, we've got Two Sugars Coffee, which is opening in Westport. I think on Westport Road, kind of by the... Hasn't that whole thing changed into like a
Mediterranean market
food or market where they've got food and everything.
Yeah, it's on my Euro Power rankings. I think it's number 4.
Okay. Is it on the same side of Westport Road?
Same side of Westport Road, on the north side of Westport Road.
Okay.
Like right across the street from, I mean, the Jimmy John's, across the street from the Jimmy John's and the, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, right across the street
and
from that Jimmy
Mike
John's.
Mike Kelly's
there.
West Sider.
Yeah, so it's a coffee shop called Two Sugars Coffee. Victoria Rickert Ponton is opening this. She went to Europe and she studied abroad or went to Europe and came back and decided she wanted to open a European style coffee shop. So she's one of those people that, you know, went to Europe and, you know, came back drinking warm beer, drinking tea, wanting to take naps in the afternoon.
There's a different way they drink like coffee too. The white, flat white and stuff, right?
No.
Is that just Australia?
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But she's 26 years old and she's opening this. So I'll probably add it to my rotation. I try to diversify the different places that I grab coffee from. And so I'll add this to my rotation, Two Sugars Coffee. It's also going to be a bakery. So they're going to have pastries and other baked goods there. It's closed on Mondays, but open Tuesday through Sunday. I think like 6 to 2. You know, more of a morning lunchtime, but yeah, this is Two Sugars on Westport Road.
And it looks like they're hiring, so if you want to work there, LinkedIn says they're hiring.
Okay, good job.
Well,
did you ever have that friend that went to Europe and was just like, came back and, you know, wanted to do everything differently? Sangria?
No, wanted to drink more like European beer and stuff in college, like IPAs and stuff. I was like, that's gross. That's disgusting.
Now.
Can I introduce you to some Natty Light?
Now you love IPAs.
Now I love them. All right. Also, could be in the works. A new skyscraper next to the Kauffman Center has been proposed. Would be, I think, the highest, tallest building in Kansas City? The third tallest?
Mm-hmm.
Upwards of 580 some feet?
Nope, 521.
521?
That's what I've got on my article.
521 feet? Okay.
Are you paywalled?
No, I'm not paywalled.
You're in?
I just couldn't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, so I love a new skyscraper. I like adding to the skyline. I'm a big supporter of that. So this
density
is
density downtown is good for cities. Population density.
Density. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
So I'm in favor of the skyscraper as well.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool, and it'll be like a little, you know, south of downtown. But yeah, it would be the third tallest skyscraper behind Tower Pavilion, which is number 2, and then one Park Place, Kansas City, or one Kansas City place. The you know, the staple one, the one that everyone recognizes in the middle.
The big glass one?
The big glass one, yeah, that's the tallest. So it would be the 6th tallest in the state. So there's a couple more in St. Louis. There's 2 in St. Louis. But, or I assume St. Louis. What if there's just a random sky? Springfield has a big hotel that's just like this big black hotel. Mm-hmm. All black. In the middle of nowhere. It's wild. It's like the tallest building.
Like grain elevators or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably St. Louis.
No. But yeah, they understand they don't want to block the view of the Kauffman Center. They said that. Said they're not, their intention is not to block any view of the Kauffman Center.
Good.
But they got to wait for approval from the FAA. So the Aviation
Association?
No.
The committee? The FAA?
Aviation.
Are you trying to think of what FAA stands for?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll Google it.
But they have to sign off on it, obviously, for airplanes flying.
Federal Aviation Administration.
Administration. Sky or airplanes flying in to downtown airport. So yeah, we'll see. I like skyscrapers. I think they're cool. I like watching them be built. I enjoy that.
Good. All right. Let's see. Also opening, we've got a new barbecue joint. This I'm interested about. It's called Fahrenheit 325.
No, it's just called F325.
F325.
Yeah, their food truck was called Fahrenheit 325.
Okay.
I think this is just called F325.
F325, but the F325, it comes from Fahrenheit 325 because that's how hot they cook their barbecue at.
Yes.
Which is interesting because I think they're basically able to cook barbecue faster.
That's what they're saying.
Which I feel like some traditional barbecuers would say that's not the right way to do it.
So,
of my limited knowledge of smoking meats.
The phrase is slow and low.
Mm-hmm.
Their phrase is fast and high.
Mm-hmm.
So they like it. They like to cook it at a higher temperature, claiming they get more flavor from it. Q39 also does this. Okay. Q39 cooks at a higher temp. So I think traditionally most smokers run at like between 200 and 250 degrees. Like anytime you smoke something, it's right in that range. And that's slow and low, but they cook at 325 high, fast and high.
Mm-hmm. Hot and fast is what they call it.
Hot and fast, fast mm-hmm. and high. Hot and fast is better. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is going to be in North Kansas City, 1825 Buchanan Street. So really close to Cinder Block up there in North Kansas City. I'm interested to try it. I mean, they have a lot of experience of barbecuing. They've participated in barbecue competitions. This is James and Lisa Huey who are opening this. They both are coming from the corporate world, just regular old corporate jobs. And they've had this barbecue food truck for a while, and now they're trying it for real. So this location used to be Repeal 18, and then it was an LC's before that or something like that. In North Kansas City, I'm not super familiar with the area, but it's going to have a patio. It's going to have live music. They're going to do a Taco Tuesday. They're going to do a barbecue Cuban sandwich. So that'll get me there. Mm-hmm. A barbecue Cuban.
I love it.
Why isn't that pun been done before? It's so obvious.
It's good.
A barbecue.
I love the marriage of barbecue and tacos.
I do too.
As well.
I do too.
So that's exciting.
So this is a soft open just happened. Soft opening, so I think they're open.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my skepticism, it's been met with more curiosity now.
There you go, Ted Lasso.
All right. So this is going in North Kansas City. Got a North Kansas City barbecue joint closing. People
with new life comes death.
The Phoenix. People are going to be upset about this. Smoking Guns Barbecue closing its doors. It's been around a while.
20 years.
20 years. And like people will talk about this and will say it might be the best barbecue that no one ever mentions.
Really?
In the top.
People say that?
I've heard it.
Wow. I've never been, have you?
No.
Okay.
Just heard high praise of it.
So Smokin' Guns is closing for good. I think it sounds like the owners are just ready to retire. They had a really good thing going. Obviously COVID put a damper on this. Was a wet blanket on their smoking was a wet blanket on their smoker,
mm-hmm.
and it has put them out. So Smoking Guns is closing. I think this is their last week. Did it say when the last day of business was?
No, it didn't.
Okay, so if you like Smoking Guns, get there because it might already be closed.
And if you make it all the way up there and it is closed, then go to Fahrenheit.
Then go to Fahrenheit.
Go to F325.
F325, yeah.
All right.
Sounds like F325, a boarding position on a plane or something.
Yeah. All right, let's go to a little what we tried this week. This week, I got to try The Market at Meadowbrook.
Ooh, fancy boy.
Fancy. Went there for kind of like a in-between lunch and breakfast. What'd you call that?
Brunch?
Yeah, brunch. And
I don't get it.
No, that was just a bad joke.
Okay.
I was just seeing if I could catch you off guard.
I almost said Brinner for some reason, which is breakfast and dinner.
But they've got an Airstream kind of food truck going outside with like some grilled cheese options, some other sandwiches. I got a French onion grilled cheese, so caramelized onions, Swiss cheese.
I love that.
Really good bread. Yes. And then went inside to get some coffee as well. Got a pumpkin spice latte.
PSLN.
Yeah. But they've got...
Really getting into the pumpkin right now. Saw you made pumpkin pancakes the other day.
I did make pumpkin pancakes the other day.
Looked really good.
Tis the season. And then inside, they've got a great little cafe as well. They have live music there a lot. It's very great place to like park and walk to, especially if you want to maybe just... take a walk or around the Meadowbrook Park or, mm-hmm. or use the playground, take your dog around. They've got a lot of outdoor seating, which is really nice too. So The Market at Meadowbrook, nice, very good vibes for brunch, lunch, And then I think at dinner they have music, live music on the weekends. So
yeah, I saw Emily Dix there once.
It's a nice went there
for
spot.
Like a cocktail hour,
yeah,
or just a happy hour, and Emily Dix was playing. It was great.
I saw a lot of breakfast sandwiches coming out of the kitchen too. Mm. That looked really good, like toasted bagels with, you know, eggs and bacon and cheese. Looked really good.
Bougie. Mm-hmm. Would you call it? What's the word for basic that people use? I think it starts with a B.
I don't know. But it means basic?
Yeah.
Well, bougie doesn't mean basic.
No.
Like internet term?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't
think. Oh, gosh, I had it. All right, I got to move on. Mm-hmm. All right. Go find it. Kevin, you have to find it.
It's I wouldn't even know what to Google.
Another word for like a basic bitch, like a God bless America. All right. This week I got to do a tour of Arrowhead, and in that tour, Arrowhead Stadium. So we got to do a private tour of Arrowhead. I'll post some pics on the State Your Line Instagram because it's pretty sweet. We got a tour of the Clark of the Hunt residence, where everyone's heard of the apartment where the Hunts built an apartment, literally an apartment in Arrowhead Stadium on the suite level, which has six bedrooms where the Hunts stay when they come in town for games. So imagine that, Kev. You're at a game, you're sitting in a suite, and then you just go upstairs and you're still at Arrowhead Stadium and you're just in your bedroom.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Find anything yet?
So far I found... No, nothing. Okay. Nothing good.
All right. So got to take a tour of
Becky?
That. No. God, everyone listening to this is probably like knows it. All right. So got to do a tour of that. Got to see that. It's unbelievable. Got to like run out of the tunnel where the Chiefs run out of the tunnel. Got to go down on the 50-yard line. Got to go down on the field. So it was my first time doing a tour of Arrowhead, and it was really sweet. Got to go into the locker room, see how cool the locker room is. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. You can do those tours on the weekend. You can't get like the tour of the residence, but you can do – tour of Arrowhead. It's pretty cheap. I think it's only like $25. This was a private event thing, but you know, I think you can easily do a tour of Arrowhead, and it was way cooler than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. It's so cool seeing that stadium from the field level and just like looking up and seeing how massive it is. And yeah, it was a blast. I'll post some pics.
One thing that, I don't, because I've never actually been like down on the field during a game. But sometimes I don't believe that it's that loud actually on the field.
It is so loud.
Like, I don't actually think that you can scream loud enough for it to be loud on the field.
Mm.
But I would love to get down on the field during a game and actually see how loud it is.
Yeah. Well, they have you scream all at once, like your tour group scream at once, and you can hear like the echoing going on. It was like, oh, that was pretty loud. Just like 14 people screaming.
Okay.
So
good to know. Yeah. How's the grass on that field level?
It's so like short.
Mm-hmm.
It looks and feels like fake turf, but it's not.
What was the most outlandish or like bougie thing in the Hunt suite that you got to see?
It's really outdated because you can't just like update that without
updating, like 90s or early 2000s.
Yeah, like late 2000s, like. The TVs are so old in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the TVs are outdated.
Seems like something they could update easily.
Yeah, but you have to do like the whole suite level. Like they have reasons for it. And it's just like, it's outdated, I would say. It needs a facelift. So maybe they'll get that. Because I think they built that in like 2012 with the remodel.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it's like 10 years old for sure. Yeah. But it's still really, really cool. And it would be such an amazing experience. Like, I don't know, you know, how I can get that experience.
Yeah, I know.
I'll just take a nap up there.
All right. Next, we've got our interview with Catherine Holland and Matt Beisler to talk.
This was awesome.
World Cup 2026. All right, today we are joined by Catherine Holland, who was instrumental in bringing the World Cup here in 2026. And we also have a 2014 U.S. Men's World Cup national team member, Matt Beisler, with us as well. You might know him, 12 years of sporting Kansas City, four-time All-Star. Sorry, Catherine.
Five-time All-Star.
Five-time All-Star?
That's what I have. I have five-time.
Five or four?
Five.
Off to a really good start for me. Sorry I didn't have like the list of all your accolades, but I'm sure they're long. Also, Pembroke High.
They are, but you can focus on Matt. It's okay.
Pembroke High.
He was one of our honorary bid directors, so I'm very grateful to him.
So, Catherine, I'm curious, what was the moment that you knew, like, we've got this? Like,
Did you know before the live announcement?
I did not. I promise. And anybody who tells you otherwise is fibbing.
Okay.
I promise you we did not. So I found out when they started going through the central region and they said can. That's the minute I knew. Truly, honestly.
But what about like in your gut? When did you feel like maybe it was in a meeting like, okay, I feel really, really good about this.
I think after our official host city site visit in October, we absolutely killed it, and the community rallied around that site visit in a way that I just could have never anticipated, even having grown up here. We really knocked it out of the park. Not to use a baseball pun, I should say we shot it into the back corner of the net.
People say that all the time in regular, just talking. Yeah. People say that all the time.
And I just felt really good walking away from that. And we got really positive feedback from FIFA and then from just sort of, you know, the conversations amongst other host cities, potential host cities that were bidding. We got very high marks for the host city visit that we hosted.
Did we know that was happening in October? Like the public? Like, did we know people were coming in town so we could be, like, on our best behavior?
Because
no one told me.
You know,
and, like, October's my birthday month, so I don't know.
That might have been purposeful, maybe. Okay. I don't know. I would think about that. But, yeah, everybody knew because we really put out a rallying cry. We offered free posters, distributed at Union Station. People could pick them up and hang them in their windows and their downtown businesses and their apartments and things like that. So, yes, we absolutely let them know when FIFA was going to be in town to hopefully, again, make sure that the community kind of came out and full stop to support the idea that we are capable and ready to host this event.
Is it true that somebody, I've been told that someone from FIFA verbalized that Kansas City was the best in-person visit they've ever had. And I know, because on paper, you know, the metrics don't really add up. We're the, 30th largest market and all those things. But I've heard from multiple people say that when FIFA came and visited Kansas City, it was the best place that they had visited. And I just feel like that's very fitting for Kansas City, right? Nobody really knows about it, but everybody that visits, they walk away, they say, holy cow, that was awesome. Is that true?
I have heard that.
You didn't hear it though?
I have heard it. No, I have heard it. Yes, okay. I heard that the two cities that really rose to the top were Houston and Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what Houston did, but Kansas City was right up there. And
I've been to Houston. That's surprising.
I mean, I think when FIFA says publicly that Kansas City demonstrated that they wanted it more than any other bidding market, you're absolutely right, Matt. That was because of us over-delivering at every point in this bid process.
And so what, when FIFA's in town, like what do you do with them? Do you guys like go out to dinner? Where'd you guys go to dinner?
So we were pretty lucky because the women's national team was playing out at Children's Mercy Park that evening.
Okay.
But it was most cities, they were in and out. So they flew in the night before. We kicked off, the all day meetings in the morning. We took them to the Power and Light District, the living room, and served them Joe's Kansas City Barbecue on China with some very nice wine paired with that.
Interesting.
And it was really cool, though, because, they had seen from the Women's World Cup recently, obviously Kansas City was really played a predominant role in the international broadcast. They kept flashing to the Power and Light District and showcasing the fan support coming out of there. So during our presentation before we broke for lunch, we got to say, like, this is where we're going. See this crowd? we're hosting lunch there. So we hosted lunch. Then we met up with a group that sort of
served Joe's Kansas City.
We served Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Yeah. Okay. Oh, and definitely 100%, we were the best lunch that they received. They still talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, and then we went out to Arrowhead for the second half of the day. And you guys have probably heard we used some virtual reality technology to. So we worked with Burns and McDonald and had some virtual reality glasses where the FIFA could put them on and sort of visualize what Arrowhead, GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium.
what was the weather like? Because I'm curious, because like we all know October, like it's pretty hit or miss. Uh-huh. And if it's 30 and windy, that's affecting my mood and my decisions.
If you're eating outside,
was it nice?
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect fall.
Did you drive down Ward Parkway and just like look at the foliage?
Yeah,
and
we didn't get them that far south. We were very strategic about the route, but we didn't get them that far south.
Matt, if you were hosting FIFA to Kansas City, where would you take the FIFA coalition if you were hosting them here?
I would do the exact same thing we just did.
Well, because it won, yeah.
Exactly.
Because it won, yeah. But is there anything that like the soccer player in you is like, okay, I want to show them this because I know there are soccer fans here and I want to show them like the enthusiasm that Kansas City has for soccer?
Yeah, I mean, not to replicate that again, but Power and Light would be one of the places I would start because it was such a lasting image on all the World Cups. All the news stations flashed to there. And so just to be able to visualize that, I think it's a really cool story to tell that everybody in Kansas City gathered at one spot and we blew it up. Yeah. It was great.
What about the middle of like the Blue Cauldron? Like just put them there for a Sporting KC game? I mean, that would leave a lasting impression on someone.
I agree. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And so like playing in the World Cup and how you think Kansas City's going to host, what are you expecting these players from all over the world to come to Kansas City and what are you expecting them to think when they get here? Because, like, I mean, for example, 2014, you're matching up against Cristiano Ronaldo in the World Cup, right? There are these insanely famous, bigger-than-life people that are going to potentially be coming here. Like, what do you think the reaction is going to be when they get to Kansas City?
Yeah, that's a great question. If I'm being honest with you, the players are sort of in a bubble.
Okay.
During the World Cup, that's at least how I felt when I was in Brazil, and maybe, you know, it is Brazil and the United States are two different places, and being in an American
fact check
in Brazil,
true.
Thank you for that. there was a lot of security, there was a lot of rules about going out and really experiencing the culture, so we were limited a bit in that respect. But I think the better angle is the fans. Mm-hmm. I think it's the fans that really get to experience the culture of the cities more so than the players, because they're the ones that can go out and eat at restaurants and walk about the town and meet locals. So I think that's probably one of the areas that I'm most excited about. And I'm really excited for the schedule to come out. I know it's not for another 4+ years, but damn, I just want to see what countries are coming to Kansas City, because like name a country that could
Germany.
Play. Okay, Germany. 40,000 Germans walking around Kansas City. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. We could probably come up with like a more
creative. Casey Bierko is going to be slammed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there's like this mystery of, you know, whatever countries, you know, games are going to be here. Like, their people are going to come to Kansas City and be here for a couple days, and they're gonna take over our city in a way, and that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you were in Brazil, were there like, is there home field advantage for that home country, or is the stadium full of, you know, people from every country who maybe are playing in that city that weekend? So, like, what do you think the game environment would be like in Kansas City? Would it just be kind of a mix of people from everywhere? Or would you expect, I don't know, a certain one country maybe just has taken over the stadium?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So it's great. Good question right here. Let's go. You're winning on questions.
Okay. Keeping score.
So, like, I always compare it college football, bowl games. It's one of the reasons why bowl games are so fun, because there's two fan bases there. They can go back and forth. They can feed off the energy. What I noticed in the World Cup was that there's actually three. There's both the countries that are playing, and then there's the locals. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whatever percentage you want to make, but we played Ghana in the first game. There was probably 40 to 50% U.S. fans, maybe 20 to 30% Ghanaian fans, and then the rest were locals. So it was this interesting dynamic going on, it was this back and forth of we'd make a play and our fans would scream and then their fans would scream and then the locals would scream for everything. And even more so when we played Portugal. Mm-hmm. When we played Portugal, I would say there was 15, 20% U.S. fans, 10% Portugal fans, and like 80% Cristiano Ronaldo fans. So it was kind of bizarre. You'd be playing this game, this intense situation, and Cristiano would get the ball, and people would just start freaking out.
Just yell shoot immediately.
Yeah. Like the cameras, the flashes in the stadium, it felt like a circus or something. But
and again, I said it, but you shut him down. No goals for Cristiano Ronaldo. You were credited with 12 clearances and 5 interceptions in that game. So big game for Beasler. That was a 2-2 draw against Portugal, if everyone remembers that game. But Matt, just a little bit more about the soccer. Is national soccer, is that different when you have to come together as a team when you don't get to practice together year round? And like, what do you expect from in this World Cup? Let's talk about this World Cup and this men's national team real quick. What do you expect from this team? Because I know it's hard to congeal as a team when you've got your separate clubs, and especially the U.S. men's team. They've got people all over the world. Is it hard to come together and practice and form like one team? Because I've always heard that the soccer in the World Cup just isn't as good as club soccer. But, you know, what do you think? Is it hard to come together?
That is one of the challenges of coming together with a national team. You bring in players that play on a daily basis with their club team. They play a certain style and a certain formation, and you go down the list of details that they're used to. And now all of a sudden you've got to come together with different people who are used to different styles.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the United States, melting pot more than other countries. So we have people that grew up with different cultures and styles and ideas about how to play. So that's another factor. I think it just depends on the coach too. Our coach, Greg Berhalter, has really come in and tried to create an identity. And that's one of the main reasons why he's done that, is because a lot of times you can kind of just roll the ball out and figure it out on the field, but mm-hmm. he wanted to be different. He wanted to actually have a style that the U.S. plays. And we'll see how it turns out.
What is that style? Well, how would you describe it?
I think we're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and that was my question, because the last couple of games, we haven't looked very good, obviously, in the last couple of games. And I'm just not sure if that's, you know, we're treating these last couple of games because they haven't really counted all that much, if we're treating them more as like figuring it out, or if you think we're actually not in good form going into November 26th.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to watch. I mean, the main reason is because I'm not playing, so I'm not, like, nervous about it. I can just actually enjoy it and watch. But this World Cup, more than any World Cup I can remember, like, it could go any direction. And I think previously you kind of knew what the U.S. was about. You know, we were pretty good. We were safe. We were going to fight. We were probably going to win a game or two and advance into the knockout stage. But our ceiling was, like, that.
Round of 16.
That's it.
Yeah.
And with this team, we could go all the way to the semifinals or finals. Like, that wouldn't shock me. It would surprise me a bit, but we could also lose all 3 games. So, like, it's anything can happen. We've got a young team, not a ton of experience, but definitely the most talent we've ever had, and I will be anxiously watching to see how we do.
So I'm curious about fans in Kansas City are going to be watching these games. So for 2026, I feel like there's talks of the Nelson Atkins possibly being like a watch venue, or Union Station, that hill there, Liberty Memorial. What kind of environment do you want to create for fans who maybe aren't at the stadium that are going to be watching around the city?
Yeah, so FIFA Fan Fest is a huge component of this event. And honestly, you heard it here first. FIFA is sort of looking at potentially exploring different models. In the past, it's been, you know, well, in Doha, it's one giant fan fest, obviously, because all the games are concentrated around that city. But, you know, in Russia, it was a giant fan fest in every host city within that country. But I think it is. It's a critical component, especially when you're talking about economic impact, right? Because this is 4 to 6 weeks of a fan fest that, you know, will be the place that you can go if you want to watch any match happening anywhere in the world at the time. There also could be some really cool programming opportunities outside of just the sort of watch party opportunities. Like you could host a concert to celebrate, you know, Kansas City being a host city. So I think, you know, whatever form that takes, it's going to be critically important to provide a safe space for anybody who's interested in sort of participating in the events surrounding the World Cup to be able to access FanFest. You know, if you can't get out to Arrowhead, you've got an incredible environment and an incredible experience. It's going to be very unique to Kansas City. I think it's going to give us a great opportunity to showcase the sort of everything that Kansas City has to offer with the hopes of, you know, making an impact that is strong enough that people want to come back and visit, right? They might leave Kansas City and they've had such a great time and they want to come back and they love that Midwest nice and that vibe and, you know, realize that Kansas City is an international city that's worth giving another look to.
Yeah, what should we say to the people who are like grumpy and are going to complain about traffic and not being able to cross Ward Parkway when that happens?
I can't say what you should say. I know we're on a podcast, but I don't want to alienate your audience. You know what? Actually, Kansas City, I think, is very uniquely positioned to be able to mitigate any of those challenges. I mean, both of those potential FanFest sites are easy to secure. We have experience, obviously, securing Union Station and the backside of the World War One Museum and Memorial because of the fact that we've been privileged enough to host a World Series parade and then a NFL, you know, Super Bowl parade. So we've got experience there. And even if you went to Nelson Atkins, it actually doesn't require a lot of shutting down of streets to secure the perimeter for those sites. So I think Kansas City is going to be much easier to navigate than Dallas or LA or Atlanta.
Every city is getting a fan fest. It's not going to be.
If it moves forward in its current form, yes, every city would host its own fan fest as part of the larger event production around the World Cup.
Yeah, and you're going to Qatar in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Which city in Qatar is most like Kansas City?
I'm only going to Doha.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, there's some matches being hosted kind of on the outskirts, but it's only being hosted in Doha.
Okay.
Which is very different than previous World Cup models.
Mm-hmm. What are you looking for when you go?
So we're really looking at all the behind the scenes activation, right? The accreditation areas, the volunteer spaces, the safety and security protocols, the fan fest, the hotel and hospitality. How do they trick out their city, right? Like, how are they transportation? Transportation will be critically important. So, I mean, it's very much a boots on the ground working trip where
you can say that. I mean, it's going to be awesome, though.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Dream come true.
We're going to be working the whole time.
We need to be able to come back to Kansas City with a better understanding of what we're going to have to tackle from a planning perspective for the next 3+ years. And everything that we've heard from people is you cannot understand and comprehend the size and scope of the World Cup unless you experience it.
Yeah. I can't. And I can't wait to see it. I know that a lot of things have been talked about as far as infrastructure that needs to change in Kansas City. What do you think?
Oh, have there been a lot of things to talk
about? Well, I don't know. I feel like I've heard, like, you know, some things need to change.
So,
tell me why I'm wrong.
I will. Buckle up. No. If we didn't have the baseline infrastructure required to host this event, we would not have been awarded host city duties.
Okay.
The World Cup should 100% be a catalyst for smart development, right? But I know that there's been some conversation around this requirement that we expand the streetcar east-west out to GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. But truthfully, that was not included in the bid. That is not something that we
were
required.
What would you know
required.
About it anyways?
What would I what?
Nothing. I said, what would you know about the bid anyways?
So, and also one of the reasons that FIFA chose the United bid over, we were competing against Morocco, is because there is not a lot of ground up infrastructure build required. Mm-hmm. They're being very mindful going into this next World Cup about, you know, mitigating human rights challenges, supporting sustainability initiatives, like not forcing markets to invest a ton of money to create infrastructure, you know, to support this event. Of course, we need to do some. We need to improve a lot of things, and the World Cup being hosted here should be a catalyst. But technically, I mean, obviously this is a ridiculous statement, but we could host it tomorrow if we really needed to, mm-hmm. because we have the hotel rooms and we have, you know, the requirements in place to do so.
That's what Brazil ran into, right? Because they had to build all their stadiums mm-hmm. from the ground up, and they ran into financial problems. And because I remember when we were down there, we were playing this game in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like the jungle, the yeah. Amazon. And a couple of us were like, what are they going to do with this stadium? Is there a professional team here? And there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody told us they were, after the World Cup, they were turning the stadium into a jail.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And that's what they did.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still open or not. I guess I should look that up.
Yeah, look that up. Yeah.
Maybe you guys could do that. You guys are the researchers.
We'll fact check it.
And also find out what city is most like Kansas City.
in Qatar. Qatar. Yeah, I'll look that up. But do you see any permanent changes? What do you think will change permanently in 2026 and beyond in Kansas City?
That's a really good question. Okay, so are you ahead now on questions?
I needed one.
I think that, again, this should absolutely be a catalyst for smart development. I think that this is an opportunity for us to sort of clean up the city a little bit. I mean, we've heard a lot of complaints about a lot of trash along the highways mm-hmm. and some roads that need to be repaired. So we definitely need to put our best foot forward when it comes to presenting this. But I think the bigger opportunity for change comes through, you know, some of the legacy programs, a legacy that we can support both U.S. Soccer and FIFA on as it relates to the sport, but also the human rights legacy. I mean, you know, one of the most empowering things about working on this bid was bringing together both sides of the state line to collaborate in a really productive way. And we had to answer to challenges on both sides of the state line, which not all bidding cities had to, right? And we joke that the only legislation that got passed in the Missouri House this past session was the tax exemption for ticket sales that's required as a host city. So, you know, I definitely think there's going to be some permanent infrastructure improvements, but I think the bigger opportunity is just, you know, mitigating these human rights challenges, putting Kansas City on the global map in a bigger way than it already is, and bringing, you know, new talent to Kansas City who might not have contemplated that before. Again, also sort of continuing to generate the tourism that's going to result from just the elevated perception of our market, right? I mean, this is money cannot buy this type of advertising mm-hmm. for Kansas City and our region.
Yeah, the economic impact's always talked about and as one of the you know, huge advantages of hosting. But yeah, sometimes you hear about the economic impact in countries like Brazil actually ends up being a net negative because they've spent all this money and now it's all gone to waste. But it sounds like FIFA has kind of thought about that when awarding it to the United States. Like, on a scale of like your neighborhood HOA and like the United States government, how influential is FIFA? And like how intimidating is it kind of having them in their city, and like how influential are they really?
Very influential. I mean, they're the biggest, it's the biggest sport in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we, like,
was it intimidating having them, like hosting them, presenting in front of them?
Yes, it was the most intimidating thing I've ever participated in.
I mean, because you come off so cool, and I've seen these interviews and you're like, yeah, we just presented in front of them. And I'm like, yeah, but you're presenting in front of FIFA, like the third most powerful organization in the entire world, including all world governments. Like,
yeah, and you have to see, they had a very specific room set up, you know, mm-hmm. and it was push to talk microphones. I felt like I was presenting in front of Congress.
Yeah, translators in the room, probably.
No. We didn't need to do that, but yeah, I mean, it was intimidating. But I think, you know, it was more that there was pressure to represent Kansas City in the best way possible, and that was the pressure. It wasn't necessarily. Yeah, FIFA's intimidating. They're an intimidating organization, yeah. But I also just felt like I had to do Kansas City proud. So that's where, you know, it's my hometown. That's that's really what I wanted to do.
Yeah, I think you really did. So made us proud. So thanks so much for your time. We'll wrap this up, and then we can open it up to some questions if anybody has some here for Catherine and Matt. But thanks, everybody, for listening while you were here.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right, thanks to Matt and Catherine for joining us. We actually got to do the event at...
it was live.
Live at Boulevard. So that was also really fun. Yeah. And I still say this every time, but I can't believe billions of people are going to be watching Kansas City.
I know, it's wild. Cup. Like, the everything about Kansas City winning that bid is so unprecedented. Like,
we were not a city that should have won it. Like, mm-mm, we really shouldn't have. We've never hosted a Final Four.
We've hosted the most Final Fours of
this. Okay. We've never hosted a modern Final Four. Never hosted a Super Bowl. We've never hosted an NFL draft. Mm-hmm. We have not yet. And we're going to host this event that's bigger than all of that. It's insane. Like, everything that we're doing for this has never been done before. And for any city of our size, mm-hmm, like, it's just never been done before. And it's so awesome. It's incredible. And it just makes you really proud to be in Kansas City. We did another like 30 minutes of Q&A from the audience, and it just didn't make for good like content to record. But yeah, it's just those two, Matt and Catherine, were very gracious with their time. And hopefully we get to have Catherine on a few more times as we get closer and mm-hmm, all this other stuff. I mean, she's going to freaking Qatar to just like watch that
for a month.
Yeah.
Be sweet.
That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I figured out the word, by the way. It was chuggy.
Chuggy.
Chuggy was the word I was thinking of. Not quite basic, but like, chuggy is like a word you would describe like a basic suburban mom that has like live, laugh, love in her kitchen and like farmhouse sign on her kitchen, right?
Yeah, true.
Or like feed me more wine type of signs, right? That's mm-hmm, chuggy?
That's chuggy.
Okay. That's kind of what I was thinking of.
Yeah, so maybe like when you're being basic but trying too hard being basic, then you get to chuggy.
Chuggy. Mm-hmm. Got it. That was the word I was thinking of. Chuggy. All right.
I think we just got our personal pint tar, then mixed plate to finish things up here.
Let's rock.
My personal pint tar, I need to be better at taking pictures.
I feel you.
I was in a wedding with my cousin and one of my best friends this weekend. And
who's the same person?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't take one picture.
Yeah.
Like, I know there'll be pictures from obviously the photographer and that stuff, but around come Sunday, I just spent a weekend with all really good friends and family. Didn't take a picture on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish I did. And it's not like I'm like that was like, oh, just live in the moment type of deal. It's just mm-hmm, like, I should probably just take a picture at fun occasions and uh-huh, events like these with when really good friends and family are around.
I agree.
So,
and it's going to have to be you, Kev, because it's that group of friends, no one else is going to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in that particular group of friends, that group of guy friends, like no one else is going to jump on it. And it's the same with my group of friends. Like, I would say half of my friends don't even have Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I post a picture, like I can't even tag half the people because they don't even have Instagram. And so I know that it's always like, it's going to be up to me to take those pictures.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, just take the pictures. You're going to want to have those mm-hmm, pictures.
Didn't take any.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously there's a professional there
going forward
and we'll get those. But yeah, just would have, wish I would have taken some pics.
Yeah. I feel you there.
I feel you there.
My personal pine tar, pretty simple here, folks.
Is it road related?
It is.
You seem like if it's simple, then that means usually to me that it's going to be road
related. It's road related. Okay. I am, I'm on a stretch here of 4 weeks in a row of traveling I-70 at least to Columbia and back. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks ago, I went to Columbia and back for work within a day. So 3 weeks ago, Columbia and back in a day. Last week, the weekend before, St. Louis and back. Last weekend, Columbia and back in a day. This upcoming weekend, St. Louis for a wedding. So that's 4 weeks in a row of that trip to on 70, at least to Columbia and back. And it's testing me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus sends his toughest challenges to his toughest soldiers, and that is testing me because we all know it, but the semi trucks that get over and people who don't know how to drive are ruining my mental capacity for that.
So a semi truck gets over, things get backed up. What do you do?
I stay in the left-hand lane waiting to pass the semi truck. That
what about
the other
people
semi
who are going right?
Do not
fast.
Let that person
what
in.
What if people are speeding up on the right to go fast and then pass the semi?
they won't make it past the semi, but mm-hmm. they might try to sneak in to the lane in front of someone. The rules for passing on the highway should be pretty obvious, but not enough people know it. And it does get tricky in that situation when there's a semi passing another semi. So a long line builds up because the semi passing the other semi is really only going like 71 miles an hour mm-hmm. as opposed to 65 like the other semi. So a long line builds up and someone tries to cut that line and get over. I will not allow it. I'll drive like 2 feet from mm-hmm. the car in front of me so that another car doesn't get in by passing everyone on the right. So that's illegal. And then if you just drive on the left and have no clue in the left lane, have no clue what you're doing, I'm going to flash my lights at you and I'm going to mm-hmm. honk at you as I drive by you, as I pass you on the right. And the thing that I do when I pass on the right is I immediately get over on the left and like kind of cut the person off. So they see like, hey, I'm passing you on the right because you haven't moved over
in the left
yep.
lane.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I've had so many of those instances and I got one more trip in front of me. So
there'll be more. Thank you for your service, sir, Sheriff.
Yes. I'm just patrolling the roads here.
All right. We've got Halloween coming up before our next episode. So let's talk some more Halloween. We talked Halloween costumes.
Some chuggy costumes out there, I bet.
So let's talk mixed plate.
Don't let the chuginess get you.
Of the best things about Halloween. That's
what we got.
That's our guidelines there. So episode 180, I guess that means I get to go first.
Even boy.
All right. It's going to be a tough one here. I'm going to go with my meat number one. Oh, man. I'm going to say Halloween parties. I think they have been fun for me my whole life. Mm-hmm. I don't have one this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. It's not the end of the world. But I do always love if there is like a Halloween party.
Yes.
Because then it's like, okay, I'm actually going to now get a costume and that'll be fun. It's fun to see people dressed up. Again, no matter what age. And vibes are always really good at Halloween parties.
Yeah,
very, very fun. So I'm going to go with the Halloween parties.
Again, the stress of picking out a costume almost ruins it. But for the most part, I love Halloween parties. I'm not a huge Halloween fan. I don't know if you knew that. My meat number one, the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Love October weather. This is when it's just a cozy night. You can like Halloween, I picture crisp fall weather, hot chocolate, those types of good feelings. Mm-hmm. I love the weather around Halloween. That's my meat number one.
All right.
Has nothing to do with the holiday, but.
Yeah. My meat number two here. I'm going to go with haunted houses. Go with haunted houses. I'm terrified of them, but I love the adrenaline rush that comes from going through a haunted house.
Plus when you were younger, holding hands.
Holding hands. Yes, exactly. So haunted houses in Kansas City are incredible. We interviewed what was her name?
The queen of haunted houses.
The queen of haunt? Yeah.
Something like that.
She basically invented haunted houses.
Her family did.
So Kansas City's got some really, really good ones. And they're terrifying. I did haven't done like the haunted houses for a while. I did a zombie.
Oh, the kill thing?
Like shooting thing.
Yeah.
Not too long ago around this time of year. And that was terrifying, but fun in a weird way. So haunted houses are awesome. And Kansas City's got some really good ones. So
true.
Going with haunted houses.
All right. Meat number two for me. I'm going candy. I am not a big candy eater. I don't eat a lot of candy. I'm not a big snacker in general. Okay. So just in general, we don't have a lot of snacks at our house. I'm not a big snacker. I don't snack a lot. I don't like snack. I'm not a snacker. All right. Halloween time, little, small, fun-sized pieces of candy I will snack on all day. That includes at the office, at home. I love at the office when people just put more candy on their desk than usual and in their office. So I just love snacking on candy.
That's a good one. All right. I'm going to go with, side number one here. I don't do this anymore, but sometimes I used to do some pranks on Halloween.
Pranking.
Just some pranks. I remember in high school, driving around, putting on a scary clown mask and knocking on people's windows and doors.
Wow.
It's a classic prank. I think one time we bought some burritos from Taco Bell when they were like 50 cents. Remember that?
Yeah. Put them in a diaper?
No.
Just threw it?
Just throw them out the window, straight up in the air on a busy road. Rain burritos. Like, I thought that was pretty funny. So,
what's that got to do with Halloween?
We just did it around Halloween because it was like time to do some pranks. It's Halloween. So, yeah, we'd buy the 59-cent burritos that they'd have and just throw them up, throw them at cars, pass them the other way, splatter a burrito on someone's car.
I thought you were going to say putting it in a diaper or something like that.
Acting like it's poop.
Nah,
just throwing it. Throwing dollar burritos. It was hilarious. I don't know why we thought it was funny, but it
all right. Did. Side number one for me. I'm going to say dressing up your kids. It's a lot of fun now with kids. This will be our first Halloween with two. So we're doing a little combo costume. James is a mouse and Maddie's a cookie.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
If you give a mouse a cookie.
If you give a mouse a cookie, one of James's favorite books. And so James will be dressed up like that mouse with like overalls and mouse costume.
Mm-hmm.
And Maddie is a cookie. And so it'll be fun. I think it'll continue to be fun to dress kids up for Halloween because it's not you that has to get dressed up. And I have a mother-in-law who makes costumes. So
there you go.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
That's nice. All right. So let's see. Where do I want to go with this? Side number two here. I'm going to go with pumpkin carving.
There you go. I love pumpkin carving.
Carve a good pumpkin.
Pumpkin seeds?
My favorite thing about it is seeds. I'm actually not artistic at all. I tried to draw like a puppy's face today and an elephant today. It looked like your son James drew them. I was trying to like show off because I was like coloring with James.
Yeah, James, look what I can do.
Try to draw. I was like, maybe I'll draw a puppy dog face. It looked like a human with a huge nose and big ear. Like, I don't know.
I don't even know where to begin.
I don't know how to draw a dog face and make it look different than a human's face.
I don't either. Like,
that's how bad I am.
You're
at
saying
drawing.
It out loud. I haven't even attempted it.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't know where to begin.
I drew the nose first is where I began. But then I was like, all right, I got to draw the shape of this dog's face. And I drew it the same shape as a human's.
And this is a perfect circle.
Yeah, yeah. And then I tried to draw an elephant. It was terrible. And I was like looking at, there's an elephant on one of the blocks with an E on it. And there's an elephant. Yeah. So I tried to basically copy that. Looked nothing like what was on the block. I'm like, how did I pass grade school art class? I'm garbage. I'm terrible. I'm 32.
Dude, we're all so bad.
And I cannot draw anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not
I can't.
A puppy face. I had to YouTube. I'm like, now my YouTube search history is how to draw a puppy's face.
Did you figure it out at all?
No. I'm terrible.
Dude, I barely passed art in high school. And it was only because we like did this fake group project that wasn't supposed to be a group project. It was incredible. I'll tell that story another time. All right, side number two for me. I think you should leave memes.
Mm.
I think you should leave, which is a sketch comedy show on
Netflix.
Netflix. You've probably seen the State Your Line account tweet it before. A lot of sketches are kind of Halloween-ish, and so you can kind of up your I think you should leave meme game during this time of year. So that's what I'll go with. That's my meme number two.
Side
number two.
There's nothing better than the ghost tour Halloween skit. When we were staying at a bed and breakfast in Herman, and there was time for questions, I was like, you ever seen any ghosts in here? And just trying to do some I think you should leave.
Trying to keep it together.
Trying to sneak some quotes in there.
All right. What I left off. So now we do this thing where we like walk around with other parents because we all have kids now. And that's fun. Like everyone just like packs a cooler, puts it in the stroller, and then you walk around the neighborhood and everyone's walking around the neighborhood. That's a fun time.
I had scary movies.
Yeah, I hate scary movies. I don't watch them.
I like the adrenaline rush of them, but I don't care for it. Terrified of them.
Yeah. I have saving money by not decorating my house. So mm-hmm. like it's a net win because it's money that I should spend, but I don't spend it decorating my house. So therefore I'm saving money on money that I could spend, but I don't spend it.
That's nice. I know I used to be anti like trunk or treat or like just like do like a trick or treating event, not on Halloween.
Uh-huh.
But after going to the Brookside one last year, just on a Sunday, maybe they had it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is convenient.
Yeah.
This is kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's a little easier than, you know, walking miles around the neighborhood.
Yeah. And I'm for yard decorations and I'm for other people decorating their house. Like, it's really great with kids too, again, because we get to walk around and like one of our neighbors has like a massive 20-foot skeleton and like this huge spider in their front yard. And James thinks it's hilarious. So I appreciate other people decorating their house. I'm just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have chicks on here.
Chicks on Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
Back at single days.
College days.
Be like, sup chicks. It's Halloween.
It's Halloween chicks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I have, that's it.
Okay. Meanwhile, I'm just doing any costume that I can have a mustache in.
Yep.
So
that's the effort. I'm doing a nurse for the third year in a row. A doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
A doctor.
You gonna dress up this year?
I'm not.
Yeah.
Are you?
Monday night? No.
I mean, we're gonna walk around and like we have a plan and we're walking around. Oh, I need to talk to you.
Okay.
we have to switch the podcast recording.
Because of Halloween?
Got Halloween.
Oh my gosh. You're such a big Halloween fan. We got to move the podcast recording. Okay. Sounds like we're moving the podcast recording next week. Is it still coming out on Tuesday next week?
Still coming out on Tuesday.
Okay. All right. That'll do it for us this week. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on social media @StateYourLine. We'll see you around Kansas City.